Can we see the LGBTQ community as a mission field and not the enemy? That's our goal this hour.
Matthew Vines gained a following after posting this video testimonial on YouTube.
I am gay. I didn't choose to be gay.
In the Christian Bible, the Apostle Paul condemns what he calls shameless sexual acts between men. But Vines says loving homosexual relationships were practically unknown back then.
The heart of Scripture's teaching is that marriage is about commitment, that it's about keeping one's covenant with one's spouse in the same way that God keeps his covenant with us. And that's something that same-sex couples can do just as well as opposite-sex couples can.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. This hour, Jan tackles an issue most churches and ministries won't touch. In the face of our highly charged society promoting or tolerating homosexuality, Jan meets today with a panel of three men. They'll discuss how we are to be firm in our convictions and yet be willing to reach out to those who struggle with same-sex attraction. We'll be hearing from Pastor Mark Henry from Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, Stephen Bennett from SBM Worldwide, and the director of Missouri's Camp Table Rock, Rick Pearson. This will be one of the most important programs you'll hear on this topic on Christian Radio today. So let's get the conversation started. Here is Jan Markell.
Welcome to the program. You know, we look at news, views, truths from a decidedly biblical perspective. Okay, I have a very interesting hour today. Let me set the stage by saying this. Actually, I'm quoting one of my in-studio guests, and he writes, "There has never been a group of liars, cheaters, thieves, or murderers that got together, formed a powerfully organized group, and declared that what they were doing was not sin. But the LGBTQ promoters have done just that. They have successfully turned an entire nation and even many mainline denominational churches to the belief that living the homosexual lifestyle is normal and not sinful." This same in-studio guest says, "So why is the clearly defined sin of homosexuality such an issue? Well, the LGBTQ promoters have made it the issue the LGBTQ have successfully taken the clearly defined sin of homosexuality and declared that it is not a sin. And not only must everyone accept this behavior, the LGBTQ will accept nothing less than our full support and encouragement, all who live this lifestyle." Well, all of my guests agree today that this agenda, please listen, is coming to your family if it is not there already. And we all agree that someone you know and care about is confused and perhaps even caught up in this movement. We're going to talk about that for the hour. My guests include, in studio, Pastor Mark Henry, Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, Stephen Bennett, a man who lived the gay lifestyle for many years, and Rick Pearson, who is in Christian ministry trying to stand for biblical truth but is getting marginalized by other Christians for not being tolerant and diverse. We'll give contact information later. Gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for all being here. Pastor Mark Henry, let me start with you. This will be a round-robin discussion. I'm not going to have much comment. As a pastor, you came to me and you said, "This is the issue of the hour for the church." You told me the church must learn to deal with some of these issues. Let me give just a few bullet points you gave me. The issue of everyone's family is going to be impacted. What are they going to do about invitations to, let's say, gay weddings? What will you do about other family and friends who embrace all of this, meaning LGBTQ? What will you do to minister to family and friends as they embrace this lifestyle? A last bullet point here, really good, I love it. Christians need to remember that lost friends and family will act like lost friends and family. They are not the enemy, they are the mission field. Those were just some bullet points you gave me. Now, each one of those we'd spend an hour on each one of those. So, you've been in the pastorate for several decades. So when did you realize this was one of the most pressing needs the church must deal with?
10 years ago or so, I realized that the movement is controlling education, media, entertainment, and influencing politics. And there's no way the church is going to be exempt from that. And I started to have families come to me and say, you know, my daughter, my granddaughter, my nephew, my niece is coming out of the closet. We don't know what to do, Mark. We want to obey God. We want to follow God. How do we navigate this? And I think the church has to come back to what are the absolutes in Scripture, understand it's a truth, lie, deception issue. It's a spiritual battle. We got to come back to the absolutes, and then we've got to start focusing on how do we reach and minister to our families and extended families as they walk through these days.
Stephen Bennett, you've been on air with me actually since about 2003. You've given your testimony on this program more than once. Can you give it literally in a paragraph?
Sure. I struggled most of my life with my sexuality, growing up in a home where my father was an alcoholic and didn't seem to love me or care about me. My mother really became my mother and father figure in my life, so I was not really masculine, but more effeminate. I was sexually molested at the age of 11, and basically my innocence robbed from me. Never shared that with anyone up until several years ago, and ended up struggling and coming out as gay when I was 18 years old. I was actively involved in that lifestyle for 11 years as a drug addict, alcoholic, bulimic, a drag queen, just trying to deal with the pain of what I had went through. And two Christians showed up at my door when I was in love with a partner several years, many years back, actually. And after hearing the gospel, I prayed to receive Christ a year and a half later. God miraculously saved me. I dealt with my root issues, which was forgiving the gentleman who molested me and forgiving my dad and reconciling with my father. And at that point, I met a woman who was praying for me. We got married. My wife, beautiful wife Irene, who I fell in love with, and we just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, have two great kids. We're adults now, and the Lord called us into full-time ministry to reach the LGBT community for Christ, to help churches navigate this issue, and how pastors and bodies of Christ can minister to people who are dealing with this, and as well as ministering to brokenhearted parents, family members, and friends.
When you began in ministry, which is now quite a few years ago, did you ever think it would become almost front and center issue for all Christians? Somehow they're going to have to be engaged in this. Don't have to be a pastor to be engaged in this. We've got listeners who have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews who are coming so-called out of the closet. But did you ever think it would be to the level it is today?
Never. Absolutely not. When I came out of the gay lifestyle, and the love I received from Christians was just overwhelming to me. And then all of a sudden, because of the gay activism and the money that was poured behind the gay activist, the entire issue turned upside down. And literally, as the Bible said, what's been called good is now evil, and what's evil is now good. And everyone telling me that I'm literally on the wrong side of history on this issue, that I'm now hated for coming out saying I'm not gay. It's unbelievable how the tables have turned, and actually having death threats against my children for identifying now as a heterosexual male and no longer gay. It's just unbelievable that this has happened.
Pastor Mark Henry, you indicate that in your church, a lot of your members or attendees have loved ones. They're either asking questions about LGBTQ. Some of them might even be active in the movement. Now, you just said 10 years ago you gave a warning, but you've been in ministry about 30 years. Did you think 30 years ago this would be front and center? A topic that is number one as far as Christian leaders have to get engaged.
I didn't think it would be 30 years ago. I thought there would be other issues we'd be facing. And yet, when you have such a strategic and intentional assault on truth, because this is really a truth-lie matter. In fact, if you read through the scriptures, it says, do not be deceived over and over and over again. And it specifically even talks about the subject of homosexuality. Do not be deceived about homosexuality in 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Yeah.
This is a truth-lie matter. And lots of money, as Steve has mentioned, is being dumped on it. And our kids are being assaulted on all sides. It's going to affect every single family. Just in July, in our local area here, the local newspaper highlighted on the front page a drag queen reading at the St.
Yes.
Paul Library.
Yes, you're right.
To the kids. There's six different drag queens that come in there, read to the children and so forth. Jan, this is going to affect every single person in America. None of us are exempt.
That's exactly right.
So what I found a week ago, I think, shocked me the most out of everything. The new latest movement now is called drag kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the latest one is called Desmond is Amazing. His mother was watching RuPaul's Drag Race when the little boy was 2 years old, playing with trucks in his cars, and saw the television on and just was amazed by these men dressing in all the colors and everything. The mother encouraged her 2-year-old son, gave him makeup. He started putting on wigs and everything. Now at 10 years old, this boy is so tragically, he is fully immersed in the drag lifestyle. He's world renowned now for this. He's a major activist. He can't even say the word activist at 10 years old. He's received awards. He marched in the New York City Gay Pride Parade several years back. And to see the mannerisms that he's picked up from watching this show, he could name every drag queen, where they're from. And he says, people, it's 2018. There are drag kids now, and there's always going to be. So this is clearly now, because dopey parents, and I don't apologize for saying that word, encouraging her son to watch that at 2 years old, and the father coming, announcing, saying his son came out at 2 years old. What child could know about anything about being gay, except where a parent is putting them in front of a TV like this? So this is being now pushed upon children, even by their own parents. Unbelievable.
Gentlemen, I've watched this online. I hate to say it, but this is all online on YouTube. You can see it. Just, you can go to YouTube and Google drag queen talking to kids. Video after video after video will come up and show you it is an abomination, and there are scriptural warnings about this. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I am Jan Markell, and we're talking about what may be the issue, certainly of the hour anyway, and that is the LGBTQ agenda that has moved into the church, into the world of ministries, into your home, possibly, certainly into the life of someone you care about. I want to bring into the discussion a gentleman who called me several months ago. Rick Pearson runs the Camp Table Rock out of Missouri, and he told me that he runs a campground that holds to biblical values, biblical worldview. He's had churches as clients for a number of years because Rick is teaching those kids, well, the various biblical mandates, and including homosexuality is not approved of in the Bible. Got churches as clients who are dropping out of his camp ministry. So, Rick, welcome to Understanding the Times Radio.
Thank you, Jan. Thanks for having me here. And I just want to say right out of the gate, just a sincere thank you to you and your ministry. You have encouraged me so greatly. I'm down there in the Ozark Mountains, out in the middle of nowhere, and to have the influence of your program on a weekly basis has just encouraged me to continue to stand for God's truth, to know that I'm not alone in this fight. It has felt that way from time to time, and especially here in the last couple of years, as we have had mainline denominational churches, they have canceled their contracts and left our ministry because of our biblical stand on homosexuality. It has been heartbreaking and disappointing to me greatly.
What do they say to you as they're breaking their contract with you? Do they do it politely? Do they call you names? What do they do?
Really no name calling, thank goodness for that. They have just said that they do not hold to that biblical teaching on homosexuality. I had one gentleman who is the main director of the curriculum writing for Sunday school for a mainline denomination say to me in a meeting that he has graduated seminary, he has studied God's word thoroughly, he is well educated, and it is extremely clear that homosexuality is not a sin. And I was just absolutely blown away that they could say something like that. They did give me an ultimatum, not in a fierce way, but they said, you will tell us that you will no longer ever speak on the topic of homosexuality at camp. You will remove your biblically based statements out of your curriculum that refer to that topic, or we will never return.
And some have never returned, is that right?
That is true. I would not give in to that mandate. It meant tens of thousands of dollars lost to our ministry financially, but I would not give in to that, and we have held strong to the Word of God. We will always hold strong to the Word of God. If we do not, we have absolutely nothing left to stand on.
Mark, you want to comment on this?
Biblical ignorance is at the highest level ever in America. And pastors, quite honestly, say they've gone to seminary, they've gone to Bible college. Sodom is mentioned 49 times in the Bible. If you look up the 49 times, it's really clear when you start in Genesis 19 that there is a sexual deviation. It's homosexuality. It's used consistently all the way through the Bible, all the way through the New Testament as well. This is a sin. We need to come back to the Bible, understand God gives truth statements. This is a truth statement. Homosexuality is sin. Adultery is sin. Lying is sin. And then when the world comes along and says it's not, we've got to go and say, we can't go there because God has made this declaration.
Well, folks, I want to give you the contact for this Camp Table Rock. Maybe you want to send your group there. It's in Missouri. And camptablerock.com, camptablerock.com. And Rick Pearson in studio with me. Rick, you were at my conference very recently, and I'm glad you were blessed by it. So we had a wonderful time back on September the 29th with 4,500 people in attendance. Stephen, I'd like you to comment on what you just heard from Rick Pearson here, this campground's director who's trying to stick to the Bible. Folks are walking out on his business because of it. I don't think this shocks you any. I'd still like your input here.
Yeah, God bless you, brother, first of all, for your stand. And listen, my wife and I and our kids, at least we'll come visit you there at the camp. That's okay.
You are welcome. You better believe it. Come on.
All right. No, I truly, my heart is broken, number one, for how you're being affected by this financially. And just as Pastor Mark was sharing, people are so biblically dumb today when it comes to this. And especially other people claim the name of Christ, claim the name that they've been saved and born again and their lives have been changed. But when it comes to this issue, they seem to have a veil over their eyes. And as he was saying so clearly, the veil of deception. Jan and I were speaking on a program several months back, did a broadcast called The Church, The Final Frontier. And there's a book out that's very well known called After the Ball by two homosexual social scientists, Kirk and Madsen, who basically laid out a manifesto, a groundbreaking plan for all LGBTQ people to follow. And in doing so, they would get everything they wanted, including same-sex marriage, gay adoption, all of that, where the tables would be turned and people such as Jan, Pastor Mark, yourself, myself, we would be the people, the Christians and the preachers, the backwoods antiquated people who are like totally out of step or in tune with what's going on in society right now. The problem is that people have thrown God's truth about homosexuality out on this issue. They're only willing to agree with part of the Bible, not all of it. Today I was reading actually in Matthew chapter 10 on verse 35, talking about the sword of the gospel. And Jesus was basically saying there's going to come a time where, you know, it's going to be mother against daughter, father against son, you know, families where they're basically choosing, who are you going to choose this day? Are you going to choose to follow Christ and his word, or are you going to choose the loved one? Now, of course, we're not trying to tell parents that they need to, you know, throw their LGBTQ loved ones out the window. But I fully believe that this is something where Christians, this should have been done so long ago, should have really educated themselves on what this is really all about. I am 100% on the belief that no one is born gay. Now, if they do ever find a so-called gay gene, I think we'll all have it, because that gene is called sin, and we're all born with sin. And I understand that the issue of sexuality is very, very complicated, and things can happen, etc. But I'm 100% under the belief that homosexuality is something that happens early on in the childhood, and most of it's birthed out of trauma. So if we were to really understand how people, almost every out lesbian in the movies and in media and television, Ellen DeGeneres, Rosie O'Donnell, who I've had a chance to witness to twice, these people, they all tell, Melissa Etheridge, they all share how they were molested when they were younger. Now, granted, while molestation doesn't play a part in every person's story, it's a common thread in many of them. So basically, just to sum this down, it's heartbreaking to see how the tables have turned, how people are resulting to the denominator of going by feelings and not wanting to, you know, to hurt their child or their loved one, but to love them because they're of that, and throwing the Bible out in place of that. So I think it's horrible what's happened to you and your Christian camp. I think Pastor Mark is right on the money with identifying that this, without question, is the problem of the hour and of the day. And again, thank God for people like Jan and her broadcast who don't shy away from this. You know, she's willing to deal with this issue, and she's taken the heat for doing so, as we have, as someone who lived the gay lifestyle and who's come out of it. So we're just grateful for all of you, and, you know, we just need to continue sticking close to one another and also to God's Word and reaching this mission field.
What I want to do when I get back is I want to ask you each a question here, because my hunch is just about every listener right now probably had to deal with the issue of, should I attend my niece's gay wedding, etc.? What do we do with issues like that and some related questions? I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
So much has been said about the LGBTQ issue already. There is so much more to come. There are so many families struggling today with someone close to them who is gay. We hope that our conversation about homosexuality is loving, yet firm in our convictions about what the Bible teaches about this sin. You can download this program from our radio archive page. When you visit our website, just click on to olivetreeviews.org. Here's a reminder. We completed our 2018 Understanding the Times conference just 3 weeks ago. The conference videos and audio CDs will be ready to ship in just a couple of weeks. To order these conference products, log on to olivetreeviews.org or dial 763-559-4444. As you consider your charitable giving, please keep us in mind. We are totally listener-supported. We depend upon our listeners' generosity. All gifts are tax-deductible. Please write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Almost 5,000 people gathered from around the world on Saturday, September 29th, to be encouraged and to learn to become watchmen on the wall. We will be ready to ship CDs and DVDs of this event around November 1st. Our speakers included Amir Sarfati.
I believe 1948 was a great sound of the trumpet. 1967 was a great sound of the trumpet. If I may say, 2018 was a great sound of trumpet as well. All I'm waiting for is the last trumpet.
Pastor Billy Crone.
Maybe it's going to be Watson who's going to help the Antichrist control the buying and selling. It's not far-fetched, folks, when you take a look at the technology.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
I believe the rapture can happen at any time because of the current situation in Syria, specifically concerning Damascus.
Eric Barger.
They are a surveillance society beyond all others, and I remember whispering about this to myself and then saying it to you and others. This is made for the Antichrist.
Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Jesus Christ is coming back in judgment in his second coming. The rapture, he receives us in the atmosphere to himself to take us where he's been.
Order in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can also call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. They will be offered in our print and e-newsletters. Sign up online. You can mail in your order as well. We live in unprecedented times. Headlines are a herald of his coming. These messages will encourage you to see that nothing is falling apart. Things are all falling together. Order today and don't be left behind.
Evangelical Christians read much of Scripture literally, but evangelical scholar David Gushee says the parts about homosexuality are blown out of proportion.
The Bible has 31,273 verses. The number of verses that can be called on to support the traditional position is essentially, well, six passages, maybe 15 verses at the most.
Gushee recently changed his own position.
You're a movement whose time has come.
An expert on the Holocaust, he says biblical distortions have resulted more than once in what he calls unchristlike behavior.
I think it remains very hard for Christians to say this simple thing. We were wrong. We've been wrong on slavery, on race, on women, on a whole host of issues.
It's been described as one of the most disruptive forces in today's society. Our panel discussion this hour is taking on an issue many churches avoid. Jan Markell and her guests now continue their conversation on homosexuality.
What do you think would change if we stopped just giving lip service to loving gay people, but en masse, more Christian people, whatever their theological perspective is, actually got to know the gay people in their neighborhoods?
Well, we know what would happen. You have parents who are animate against gays and lesbians, until they find that one of their own children is gay or lesbian. Their attitudes change because they know this person, love this person, and see beyond that sexual orientation.
All right, welcome back. We're dealing with this topic for the entire hour. I believe it's lots of emails coming from folks who have the issue in their family, in their community, in their business, in their church. So I have three gentlemen talking about it for the hour, and I would like to address this gentleman. And I gave that tease in my last segment, and that is a situation. Somebody gets an invitation to a gay wedding. Christians are struggling with this. Should they go? Doesn't that show approval for this particular wedding? On the other side of the coin, they want to be a blessing. They want to be able to minister to this same-sex couple. Rick Pearson, what do you say to something like that?
I believe, first of all, any true follower of Christ, any true follower of God's word, we do not hate a person or dislike them or put them, whatever, out in some category because they are caught up in the gay lifestyle. And so we need to love them. We need to share God's truth with them. One, we need to know it ourselves. And I totally agree with Pastor Mark. We are so biblically illiterate. And that's how, why we fall prey. And Tony Campolo just referred
that was
to
Tony
their
Campolo. Emotion.
I'm just like, oh my goodness. So if you know someone or you have a loved one who is living the homosexual lifestyle, all of a sudden it's okay that we can now disregard the biblical mandate for this? Absolutely not. So my response, if I were to receive an invitation to a gay wedding, I personally would not attend. But I would also be very careful to find a way to reach them and use it as an opportunity. Thank you for the invitation. I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I'm praying for you. But here's the reason why I can't come. I believe in God's truth. I must stand with God's truth. I would do my very best to use it as an opportunity to share God's truth with them concerning that topic and let them know beyond all things that they are loved. Now, that doesn't mean that we accept. And that's where people get so confused. Don't tell me you love someone unless you accept them unconditionally. I accept them unconditionally as a person for whom Christ died. And I love them because Christ died for them. That doesn't mean I accept the lifestyle that they are caught up.
Pastor Mark, you sent me the comment here that I really like. Christians need to remember that lost friends and family will act like lost friends and family. They are not the enemy, but the mission field. So I throw the question to you. You surely have been asked to, you haven't been asked to officiate at a gay wedding, but you sure have been asked to attend. What do you say?
You know, Janice, is a complex issue, and you need the wisdom of Solomon to navigate it. And I think there's several levels here. One is, there's a level of the pastor. Pastors, you are not diplomats, you're prophets. Our message is not to compromise or to come up with negotiation. It's an ultimatum. The church has to assume God's moral standards, and how we conduct ourselves is completely different. And then as we see those who don't know Jesus, they are the mission field. And what I have found as a pastor is that people, as I reach out to my friends who are in the gay community, and I've led numerous ones to Christ, and God's done amazing works. But let me just give you one quick story. There was a couple in our church who I love very much. They had three daughters. One of the daughters came into contact with some gay folks and became interested.
You told me.
They were heartbroken. They wept and cried, and we reached out to her, and we did everything we could. At 22, she sat in my office and said, I've met two ladies online. I'm moving in with them. I'm leaving. And I looked at her and I said, you know this isn't right in your heart. You've heard the truth your whole life, and you're believing a lie. Know that we love you, and when you hit the bottom, when you feel the emotional strain, when you feel the physical strain, when you feel the spiritual strain, when you feel the weight of that, you remember there's a way home, and his name is Jesus. And you know, Jan, 3 years later, that young lady at the bottom called and said, is there a way home? Can Jesus still care for me? And not only does she trust Christ, but she is a great advocate for the gospel of Jesus Christ now. But it was strenuous on that family because they were invited to all sorts of things, and they had to navigate with wisdom through each of those individual situations.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, Jan Markell. Three guests this hour talking about the LGBTQ agenda. And let me just give a little contact information here, because you're hearing these voices and you'd like to talk to some of these gentlemen. Here's how you do it. Pastor Mark Henry is at Revive Church in Brooklyn Park. Here's the website, revivebrooklynpark.org, revivebrooklynpark.org. Again, I've given the contact for Rick Pearson and his camp, which is camptablerock.com. And Stephen, quickly and please, but you're just off of a conference you've had here, a national conference, international in fact, and I think you've got some of it up on your website, which is sbmworldwide.com. You are throwing the welcome mat open to anybody who wants to talk to you about this whole issue if they've got loved ones in this stream, and that number, folks, toll free, is 800-832-3623, 800-832-3623. You're just off of a conference. You've got things online. Give me 30, 60 seconds on what you've done.
It was an amazing powerhouse of speakers across the country, many nationally recognized, some brand new ones, men and women who have been saved by Christ, who have come out of the gay, lesbian, and transgender lifestyles. It's just amazing. People will really be blessed by hearing their stories. And again, we are here. If you have a loved one, a family member, friend who's struggling, you call us, and we are here to talk with you and pray with you and help you in any way that we can.
Okay, that's sbmworldwide.com. That's Stephen Bennett Ministries. And 800-832-3623. Okay, Pastor Mark, listen, we've got a guy like Andy Stanley. Every week he comes out with a more ridiculous statement as a pastor. The latest one is unhitched from the Old Testament. Cut it out. And yet he's got one of America's largest churches, tragically. And we have other guys like you standing for truth, biblical truth. Here we got Andy Stanley out there saying crazy things, and the church must. Again, this is an indication of where the church is at today.
Absolutely, Jan. In fact, I candidated at a church, a large church here in the country, and went through the whole process. But the candidate process, the committee, when it came to this subject of homosexuality, it came up. And, you know, I just shared the scriptures. Hey, let's look in Leviticus. Let's look in Deuteronomy. Let's look in 1 Corinthians. Let's look in 1 Timothy. I mean, God has spoken, for heaven's sake.
Absolutely.
And I thought that would endear the situation, right? Because we're just trying to be followers of Jesus, people of the book. And I was shocked. They said, well, we don't think you're a good candidate because of your view on this. And it's just simply the biblical view. God says adultery is sin. He says idolatry is sin. He says homosexuality is sin. And Jesus died to save us from these things. You know, the thing I love about Steve's ministry and the conference that he just had is you've got these people sharing their stories. God's grace is big enough to save you. If you're listening and you've got same-sex attractions, listen, Jesus is big enough to meet you right where you're at. He's big enough to save me. He's big enough to save you. He can touch your heart.
Stephen, the verse that hit you when you were debating all of this, and I have it printed out in front of me, but give it, because something that you once were.
It's, and Pastor Mark brought this up at the initial part of the broadcast, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11.
That's right.
The Bible says, a paraphrase, and I read from the King James, "Know ye not that the unrighteous," keyword unrighteousness, "that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." Unrighteousness and deception. And Paul goes on with a laundry list, the adulterer, the extortioner, mm-hmm. the murderer, the homosexual will not inherit the kingdom of God. How much clearer can you be with that? But the most amazing verse is right after that, 11. "But such were some of you. You've been washed, you've been sanctified, set apart for God's holy use." I never heard that. I always parroted the phrase, "I was born gay, I was born this way," like Lady Gaga's song. We were not born this way. I ended up down that path through trauma. And because the Bible said that, I had never heard that scripture before. That's the one I clung on to, I believed. And a year and a half later, after hearing that verse and clinging to that, Jesus Christ saved me. The wretch that I was, the horrible, unbelievable things that I did when I was in that lifestyle, he still, in that state, met me where I was and loved me. And he brought me now today to be the man, the father, the husband that I am. Believe me, I'm far from perfect. Ask my wife about my piles of clothes on the side of the bed and other things. But besides that, he has changed my heart. I no longer struggle with homosexuality. God's word is real. Jesus is still in the business of changing lives, and he's still doing it to this day. He's incredible.
I want to play a 2-minute clip here, and this is partly why the church is in trouble. This is an apology. It's pastors apologizing for the way the gay community is being treated.
Hi, my name is Brian McLaren. I'm a former pastor. I'm an activist, a blogger, an author.
My name is Greg Boyd. I'm a teaching pastor at Woodland Hills Church in Maplewood, Minnesota.
Hello, I'm Brian Zond,
pastor of Word of Life Church in St. Joseph, Missouri.
I'm also an outspoken ally for LGBTQ people.
I'm a straight Christian, and on behalf of the Straight Christian Church, I want to ask forgiveness from the GLBTQ community.
And I want to apologize to the gay community for the treatment that you have often received at the hands of people who profess to be followers of Jesus.
Hi, I'm Bruxy, and I want to apologize to members of the LGBTQ community.
Throughout history, and yet to this day, straight Christians have judged you, we've excluded you, we've persecuted you, we've scapegoated you, all because you're different from us.
The worst way, the most demonic way that we achieve unity is we pool together our own anxiety and fear and rage and project it upon some nefarious them. It's called scapegoating, and it is demonic. And too often, it has been gay people that have received that kind of hatred.
The queer community has, over the years, been so horribly stereotyped by conservative Christians.
The Christian church has been, until very recently, a universally hostile environment for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer people.
Even to this day, a lot of straight Christians put the blame for social problems on the GLBTQ community.
The reasons for this are complicated and sad, but it involves with the same kind of misuse and misinterpretation and misapplication of the Bible that led to the discrimination against women, led to anti-Semitism, but it expressed itself for all of history up until now in homophobia.
Rick Pearson, what do you think about when you hear that? The church is apologizing?
It's sad to me that maybe some Christians have responded very inappropriately towards those caught up in the homosexual lifestyle. That is sad. But for heaven's sakes, we cannot apologize for the Word of God being true. The truth is, the LGBTQ as an organization is one of the most fierce, ferocious, vindictive, hurtful organizations that I've ever run into. They will not accept just the fact that maybe we will accept those in that lifestyle. We have got to embrace it. We've got to endorse it. We've got to encourage it, or we are bigots and we are haters. And that's what I hear. And, you know, I deal with students. A couple thousand of them every summer come to our camp ministry. And the reason that I felt like I had to address this issue primarily is because of the LGBTQ and their ferocious involvement and influence in our society. They are in our public education system. Unbelievably so. And you know, when I speak on this issue at camp, here's what I hear from the students. Thank you. No one has ever explained this to me from a biblical perspective before. They are inundated through the media, which is just constant. You can't watch hardly a commercial, a regular television program anymore, music, movies. They are inundated with the LGBTQ agenda constantly. And they're also inundated through the education system in our public schools. And so they come to camp, and unfortunately, they're not hearing about the truth in their churches. As a pastor, I'm just going to say to my brothers and sisters out there behind those pulpits, you better stand on God's word. You'd better be preaching and teaching the truth of God's word. We will all stand before him someday. And I believe the Bible is clear that we who are called to preach and teach will be judged more strictly. I think we're held to a higher standard. Amen. And we had better be preaching and teaching the truth. So students are grateful to hear the truth of God's word. And they're glad to have an understanding. It's just unfortunate that they have to come to a camp ministry to do that. I mean, I'm glad that we do it. And then it's super unfortunate that it isn't really the students who decide where they go to camp. It's the church leadership, you know, the pastors and youth pastors and youth leaders. And that is where we have lost groups, not the students.
And those are the ones who are pulling out of your camp ministry. Yeah. I quoted you when we opened the program because you're the one who wrote this. There has never been a group of liars, cheaters, thieves, or murderers that got together, formed a powerfully organized group, and declared that what they were doing was not sin. But the LGBTQ promoters have done just that. They have successfully turned an entire nation and even many mainline denominational churches to the belief that living the homosexual lifestyle is normal and not sinful. Pastor Mark Henry, you heard pastors apologizing in that little clip. Your thoughts?
I was heartbroken because those men, hear me plainly, are deceived. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 4, he said in the last days, he says, do not let anyone deceive you. 1 Corinthians 6, let me give you the sentence. The syntax is really clear. It's an imperative, and the subject is you. It says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor homosexuals, nor thieves shall inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Jesus warns us, the Bible tells us, it goes on in Galatians, and it says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, whatever a man sows, that will he reap. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived, bad company spoils good morals. So for Christians to say that, something's been missed. The second thing they missed in the passage, Jan, is what Steve just emphasized. In the last part, it says, and such were some of you. Some of you were thieves. That's true. Of the nine sins that are listed in that text, when it says, do not be deceived, the nine sins are listed. I haven't done all those sins, but I've been washed, sanctified, and justified. Steve's been washed, sanctified, and justified. Rick's been washed, sanctified, and justified. And the message we have is truth about homosexuality, so we can have the truth about Jesus, because he washed, sanctifies, and justifies.
Let me give just a contact one more time, and I'll try to do it going out of the program as well. Rick Pearson represents Camp Table Rock, camptablerock.com. Again, check into Stephen Bennett's conference that he had here in the last week or so, and that's sbmworldwide.com, sbmworldwide.com, where he'll have some probably audio and video from that event. And you can contact Mark Henry through revivebrooklynpark.org. And if that's in the Twin Cities, and some of you, if you're listening in the Twin Cities, may remember that church as Brooklyn Park Evangelical Free Church. Change the name and change the pastor. Mark, you've been there 2.5 years now?
Yeah, we've been there 2.5 years, and Jesus is reviving hearts every broken side of the street.
Praise the Lord. We're going to wrap this up in the next minute or two, so don't go away. I'm coming right back.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Remember, each new broadcast is posted to our website every Saturday. It's free to download to hear again. Just visit olivetreeviews.org and click on the Radio Archive page. Our recent 2018 Understanding the Times conference ended just 3 weekends ago. If you missed the live stream, you can still catch all the exciting messages on DVD or CD. All messages are also available at no cost in video form on YouTube and on our website. You can order your conference products when you visit olivetreeviews.org or when you phone 763-559-4444. We get our mail at Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Don't go away. Our final segment is coming right up.
This ministry is carrying Amir Sarfati's new book, The Last Hour, an Israeli insider looks at the end times. It is a captivating look at our times from a man who lives in Israel, the land of Bible prophecy. I'm an endorser of this book. Find it in my web store, olivetreeviews.org, or give my office a call, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, Central Time. It makes a wonderful gift item as well. With the holidays approaching, it is also offered in my print and e-newsletter. Sign up online. The Last Hour will encourage you to look up and know that our redemption draws nigh. He will connect some dots for you as it concerns events of the last days and just may convince you that it is indeed the Last Hour.
From my perspective, a lot of it sounded as if, or at least was characterizing it as it being a choice, like a viable alternative lifestyle, as if there's some sort of gay lifestyle that can be chosen. Sexual orientation is a part of your being, just like eye color, just like the color of your skin.
Do you think homosexuality is a sin?
It's unnatural. I think that it's detrimental and ultimately destructive to so many of the foundations of civilization.
So what do you do if one of your 6 kids says, Dad, bad news, I'm gay?
I'd sit down and I'd have a heart-to-heart with them, just like you would with your kids.
If one of my sons said that, I'd say, that's great, son, as long as you're happy. What would you say?
I wouldn't say that's great, son, as long as you're happy. I'm going to say, you know, there's all sorts of issues that we need to wrestle through in our life, and just because you feel one way doesn't mean we should act on everything that we feel.
Here to wrap up her panel discussion with Mark Henry, Stephen Bennett, and Rick Pearson, once again, Jan Markell.
Remember, we're just off of Understanding the Times 2018. We had a wonderful day of about 4,000 people gathered literally from around the world. We had 55 either states, Canadian provinces, or foreign countries present back on September 29th. Complete sets of CDs and DVDs, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. You will better understand the times, contend for the faith, and become watchmen on the wall as a result of that particular day. And if you do write to us, would you tell me what station you listen to? And the program is always posted to my website, olivetreeviews.org, on Saturday. And if you'd just like it to download to one of your devices, then sign up for the mobile app at oneplace.com, and just go to Understanding the Times Radio at oneplace.com for that mobile app, or you can just stream as well. Now, I got to wrap up the hour here, and to do so, gentlemen, we need to talk fairly quickly. I want to give your contact one more time as well. But, Stephen, during the break, you said you were invited to one of your friends' gay weddings. Talk to me about it and talk to the audience about it. How did you handle it?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, it was a former partner of mine, and he invited me to his wedding with his new partner, and him knowing I am a Christian minister and that I've come out of this lifestyle, I, of course, respectfully declined and had to share with him, as much as I love him as a friend, that I could not attend. And it's simply because in the Bible, when Jesus caught the woman in adultery, he, of course, basically said, go and sin no more. The weddings are something so important that, of course, Jesus is the bridegroom. The church is referred to as the bride of Christ. And I don't believe that Jesus would ever attend a gay wedding, simply because that's a celebration of something that God considers to be so sacred. And how could someone who's participating in sin, and that's the Bible saying that, not me, celebrate sin? It's not something we could ever do. So I believe, as a Christian, of course, I told him there was no way that I could celebrate that. And he respectfully understood. So that's something that we, of course, also say to parents when they call in people, should we go to a gay wedding? As a Christian, and as the rest of the gentlemen also agreed, I don't think it's something we could ever do with a right mind as being a representative of Christ.
Thank you. I appreciate that input, Stephen. Now, Pastor Mark Henry, during the break, we were talking a little bit, and you have obviously a burden to encourage folks how they can protect their children from all of this. Give me your thoughts.
Jan, we homeschooled our kids, and my daughter, as she was going into high school, she wanted to go to the public high school. And so we opened up that door, and she was taking 4 classes, and she came to me after a short period of time and says, Dad, I don't want to go back. I said, you got to finish out the semester. You got responsibilities. You got duties. And she said it again, and then a couple of days later, she said it again. And then I looked at her, and I said, what's really the heart issue? And she goes, Dad, there are things that are happening around me, and it's crushing my spirit. And it specifically came up. It was girls engaged there in lesbian activities. And we're seeing it in media. We're seeing it in education. We're seeing it in entertainment. And we're seeing it, of course, influencing politics and even the Supreme Court nomination, all these sorts of things. We've got to protect our children. Steve's story at the very beginning about that 2-year-old is a good illustration. Moms and dads, support your church if they're reading the scriptures to you. Encourage your pastors. Men, be men of God. We need to see that in this generation and protect your children, for heaven's sakes. The lies are real. The deception is real. It is powerful, and Satan wants to destroy you, wants to destroy your children, wants to destroy, quite honestly, America. If we had time, we'd read Leviticus, because it specifically says, Israel, do not become involved in these sorts of sinful activities. The nations were cast out because of it. You'll be cast out. America's in trouble.
Stephen, what do you say to people who say, but Jesus hung out with sinners? He used that experience to teach and get out truth. So why can't you go to a gay wedding?
Well, again, as I shared, the gay wedding is something so important to God that it's almost a mockery of the truth of what marriage is all about, of Jesus being the bridegroom and us being the bride. Listen, I'm all for hanging out with gay people and with transgender people. That's what I do all week long.
Yeah.
That's how I minister. And I love them. I go out to lunch with them. I do fun things with them. But Jan, they know where I stand. They know my story. I share God's love and his truth until they tell me to shut up and stop talking about it. But that's what I do all week long. But still, there's a line that I'll draw. I'll only go so far. My whole purpose is to share Christ and share the gospel with them. And I don't think I could ever do that successfully by participating, respectfully, by participating in a gay wedding. I could not do that.
Rick Pearson, you have a powerful ministry, and over the years it's reached, I know, probably tens of thousands of kids. And camp ministry is an effective way to reach the younger people. And it's encouraging to hear that you're the one of those that it's telling the inconvenient truth to those kids. Talk to me a little bit more about your impact on them.
I'd just like to respond quickly to what Steve just said, because this is so vital and so important. You know, we would not go to a bar necessarily where everyone's drinking to try to reach the alcoholic. We wouldn't go into the strip club to try to minister to someone caught up in that lifestyle. We're not going to go to a party where there's, you know, illegal drugs and everything going on, or gambling, whatever, to try to reach them. As Christians, we've got to take a stand. We absolutely have to love those people. And like Steve said, he ministers to them every day, but we minister to them what I would call in God's environment, in the right environment. We reach out, but we don't go off the cliff to try to save them, because we both fall at the bottom. You know, we're both going to be crushed. So I just want to say thanks, Steve, for what you're doing there. That is awesome, and I believe in that so much. And I would also like to say to parents that camp is truly, and I've been in youth ministry 34 years. That's a long time. And I have realized that camp is truly one of the most powerful and life-changing experiences in the life of a student. It literally can set the direction for the rest of their life. The last 3 years in a row, I've received an email from a college professor at a Christian university several hours away from us, but he told me that he teaches a intro to youth ministry class. And he said 70 to 80% of the students in his class either accepted Christ as their savior at Camp Table Rock or were called into ministry.
Wonderful.
At Camp Table Rock. I couldn't be more blessed. If someone wrote me a check for $1 million, I'd like someone to try that. But anyway, I know I couldn't be more blessed. That is the most awesome thing.
No wonder you're under attack. My goodness.
Yes, we certainly are. None of us should be surprised at that. When we stand for truth, we are going to be under attack. Our students are under attack. So I want to say to moms and dads out there, you might even homeschool your students. Or if they're in a public school system, they certainly are surrounded and influenced by the LGBTQ and the homosexual lifestyle. And you might think, oh, well, my kids, they don't listen to that type of music, or they don't watch those types of movies or whatever. I promise you, if they live in America and breathe, they are being impacted by it. We've got to get them in environments like a camp. And if you're not a part of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, you need to find one. And good luck in that, but you need to find one. And I think you need to get your students in an environment as powerful and life-changing as camp is, for them to hear the truth there. Many, many times I've had parents say to me, and youth pastors, we tell the kids this, we tell them that, but when they come to camp and hear it from you, it just absolutely drives it home, and it adds validity to what we've been trying to teach them all along. So I highly encourage that.
Okay, folks, just go to camptablerock.com, camptablerock.com, learn a lot more about Rick Pearson's ministry. Mark Henry, you said to me, we cannot just condemn someone in this lifestyle. We must say Jesus is the answer. I think that's kind of what we've tried to emphasize this hour. You wrap it up, won't you? Because I've got a few minutes left here. Somebody comes to you and has heard this program and is really seeking answers, and they call you. What do you want to say?
There was a man named Dave, and he was dying of AIDS, and he called an acquaintance of mine. And he said, would you come and see me in the hospital? I only have a couple of days to live. And as he walked in, he grabbed my friend's hand, and he said, I grew up in a Christian home. I heard about Jesus. I heard about sin. I heard about righteousness, and I rejected it all. And now I'm dying. Is it possible for me to have salvation? And my friend shared with him that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for sin. He paid for the sin so that we might have everlasting life. And he invited Dave to trust Christ right there. And Dave trusted Christ. But as he was trusting Christ, all of his gay and lesbian friends were leaving the room. They didn't want to hear that message. But you know what? He trusted Christ that day. Mm-hmm. And he ended up sharing the gospel with all of his friends. If you've got same-sex attractions, I want to say this to you. Jesus died so that your sins might be forgiven, so that you might be washed, so that you might be sanctified, so that you might be justified. And I want to encourage you to reach out to your Christian friend and say, I need Jesus, can you help me? And we'll meet you there.
Amen. Rick, I want you to speak for the remnant, because you identify as a remnant member. You were at my conference here recently, and you said it felt so good to be among the remnant. Give me a minute about what you meant.
Oh my goodness. From the moment I walked into that place, I felt the unity of the Spirit of God. And I had to drive 10 and a half hours to get there, and it's worth every single minute of it. I was so blessed. The speakers are just, they are just up there. I hung on every word because they spoke truth. And that's why I listen to your broadcast every single week. I need that constant flow of truth into my life. Sure, I read God's word and spend my time in devotions with him. Absolutely. But it is so important to have the fellowship of believers. Mm-hmm. And your conference was just truly one of the most powerful things I've ever been to in my life. And I can't wait to come back next year. I appreciate you putting it on. I could see how tired you were, and my heart went out to you. I run a youth camp. We work 16 hours a day for like 10 and a half weeks, okay? And my heart went out to you, but thank you for doing that. Thank you for not giving up on the remnant. You are a source of strength to us. And I guess today, as I'm speaking out and trying to get parents to understand the importance of camp, I know I'm speaking to the remnant because we're becoming more rare today.
Yep, we are.
And we've got to take a stand for God's truth. And thank you for doing the conference. I know Satan's fought you at every step of the way. I talked to you just a couple of days before it started, and you were coming down with a bad cold, and I prayed and prayed, and you made it through and did an awesome job. And I thank you for doing that.
A little bit of contact info as I go out of the program here again. Steve Bennett, you want to talk to him, it's 800-832-3623, 800-832-3623. His wife has written a book, Until Your Prodigal Comes Home. A true story, I believe, is going to set somebody free. Find it on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles. Go to sbmworldwide.com. Find Mark Henry, revivebrooklynpark.org. Folks, I am so totally out of time. The Bible says that predicted the decline of the culture in the last days, and it also predicted that the church would not give heed to sound doctrine. So can we be salt and light and delay the decay that's going on? I think that's what our assignment is. We're not responsible for changing people, but we are responsible for telling them the truth, even the inconvenient truth. I want to thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every weekend, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour, pointing out the dangers in today's culture and bringing hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're asking you to join us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also welcome at olivetreeviews.org or by phone when you dial 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Jan Markell returns next week with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.